Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. All right, you're halfway to the weekend, but you know what it means at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. We have this thing we like to do called the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So let me just call the roll. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he writes for Yellowhammer. Oh, by the way, he has a television gig. Dale Jackson, you there?
Oh!
All right, a little raspy, but there you are. All right, we're glad you're there. All right, turning my attention south. FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, also does stuff with Land Yap, also does stuff with Breitbart. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for the much-vaunted 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. All right, I pronounce a quorum, man. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right. First round, first question. Jeff Poor, you first. What you got?
We're just going to play the will Tuberville run for governor or not game until May, right? We've been playing it for like at least 4 months now. We're just going to have to play this game, and then May comes, and we'll find out one way or another, right?
I think that's right. The fact that he's still bothering to talk about it tells me that I think he's going to run. I'll be honest with you. I think he is. I know there are folks in D.C. that want him to stay, and there's folks in D.C. that want him to go. But I think right now his name ID, his statewide presence, if he wants to run, it's his primary to lose at that point. So I think he will. Dale?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think he wants to run. I think he's being pushed to run. And yeah, there's no reason to continue talking about this unless you're going to. If you're not going to, you just say, no, I'm not going to run. But it looks like I'm not saying he's trying to do this, but this is the effect. You scare people out. And everyone's basically saying the same thing. All three of us would probably agree Tuberville gets whatever he wants in this situation. If he wants to stay a senator, he's going to stay a senator. If he wants to be governor, he can be governor. If he wants Phil Williams' radio show, yeah, sure, you can have that too.
No, there are some things he just can't have. Well, yeah, but I look at it, and didn't y'all run a story the other day? Somebody did that Rick Pate has already moved his race to the lieutenant governor because he knows he can't run against Tuberville. Wasn't that said?
That's accurate. He's going to run against Will Ainsworth.
So say what, Jeff?
I said that's accurate.
Well, I mean, you're running the stories, man. What do you think? Is he going to run?
I don't think he's made up his mind. Honestly, I don't. I think he's toying with the idea. He is on his own timetable, so as he could decide whatever he wants to do,
yeah,
he could decide on his own time. I think the door's still open for it, but people want to know. And look, this is the consultant industrial complex. I mean, this is fundraising, commitments.
Yep.
Who's going to work for who? The best people, or where are they going to go? And this is sort of why I think that we're in this sort of panic situation from some people.
Well, let me take it one step further. I'll take question two. So right now, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida all have open seats for governors. Their incumbents are term limited for 2026. So Mississippi's still got, they're on a different cycle than us. I think theirs is 2028. But right now, you've got four of the Southeastern bloc, basically, are all going to be looking at a new governor. Is it possible that we will see, in the wake of the Trump election, a conservative wave in what I would call a Southeast block of red, like real conservatives? Your thoughts on it. You first, Jeff.
I think so. I don't know. It's kind of like we haven't, I don't know about Georgia and Kemp, but I mean, we're kind of the ones out here, right? We're the ones that are that have not had governors who are led the way. Be like Sarah Sanders in Arkansas, Lee in Tennessee, to some degree Tate Reeves. But I mean, they're doing more with their tax structure over there. It's just like Alabama. One of our big claims to fame, and it's mostly social issue stuff, but it's not like better, smaller, more efficient government, right? And I the trend has got to be in that direction soon.
I think so, too. And I think people are also looking for someone who will be verbalizing that from the governor's office. Right now, what we get is press releases to say the governor supports or nothing at all. And
it's just corporatist. I mean, it's not true, like, conservative values. It's like she pays lip service to the social issues, but meanwhile, they're just going to, you know, hand out checks to whatever corporate.
Yeah, but she also does it. She doesn't even also do it in person. You know, but what I love about even Brian Kemp does stuff in person. DeSantis, always in person. Tate Reeves, almost always in person. Bill Lee does. Kay Ivey never does a presser anymore where she gets out there and fights for the issues. She just lets her staff do it.
They're not 85-year-old women with no political futures. I mean, all those people want to be something beyond being governor.
So you think that they are basically doing it because they're self-serving and not because they're more energetic?
Well, I think it's both. It can be both. I'm very self-serving and energetic.
I mean, it's always about you, Dale. It's never.
How does it come back around to you? The point's
very clear. You can do both things. I'm not suggesting that they don't mean what they're saying or anything like that. What I'm saying is there's more reason for them to run around. KIV doesn't care. She's a corporatist.
At the same time, when you have nothing to lose, why don't you get out there and do more? If you say that you are what you are.
She's 90 years old and tired.
And that's the point.
But she did the same stuff, Dale, when she was running the last time. I mean, you know, she did the COVID press conferences. She's just a bad governor, and we vote for her anyway.
I don't think we're saying different things.
No step too high for a high stepper. That's all we got out of her last campaign. That's all we got.
At a gun range and some political ad.
High stepper. Anyway. All right. Next question. Dale, pray tell, what do you have about yourself? Go ahead.
Hey, did you guys know that my TV show is back on Fox 54?
Oh, no. There's Dale's question. That's wonderful.
Hey, you set me up for it, so I have to take it. So don't miss it. Fox 54, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday this weekend. My question
is Dr. Burke
here,
on?
No, it's not. Me and Yaffe this week. Mecca's on vacation. So let's talk about this race a little bit more. Will Ainsworth is making a lot of noise about not wanting to run for Senate. I think Jeff believes that. I'm not sure if you do, Senator Williams. I'm kind of torn on the whole thing, and I want him to run. I told Tommy Tuberville he needs to stay in the Senate. I told Will Ainsworth he needs to run for the Senate if Tuberville runs for governor. So, I mean, is Ainsworth even considering it, or is he slamming that door so hard that there's no way he can walk it back?
Well, I think first of all, Ainsworth would be wrong not to consider it. I totally get the idea that he's got young kids and he's got a viable income he could be pursuing. But listen, Ainsworth said he was not going to run for lieutenant governor again, and 2 weeks later he was on stage campaigning. Until he says I'm out of the race and he makes it past qualifying without signing the paper. I'm saying that right now he's just waiting to see what Tuberville's going to do, and he'll do just the opposite. I think that's where it's headed. Ainsworth would be foolish not to be thinking about the U.S. Senate if he wants to stay in the political realm, because what else is he going to do statewide? There's nothing else statewide he could run for except for governor, because otherwise he'd be stepping into Secretary of State or auditor or something, and that would feel like a step down for him. So unless he wants to go back to the legislature, which I doubt, he's either going to go to Congress or the Senate. Well, the U.S. Senate is the shoe-in. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Bradley Byrd ran for governor, missed it, but then 2 years later ran for Congress, or a year and a half later. But no, I think we got to do the draft Ainsworth thing. He's got to run for Senate if Tuberville's not in the Senate.
I think, am I wrong?
Think about it. Sit here and think about Senator Will Ainsworth, and it starts to make more and more sense the longer you ruminate on it.
I think it makes sense on paper, and I think that it makes sense in his head.
To think about it, Senator, like, think about him in the Senate and how he – I mean, I think he'd be one of the most conservative senators. Young guy, he could serve for a while if he wanted to. It's the template that Alabama sort of needs.
Your thoughts on your own question there, Mr. Dale?
Yeah, I think you guys are right. Draft Will Ainsworth. I mean that's the correct answer. They could swap what everyone thinks they're going to do, and easily. I think they're both the front runners in whatever race the other one's not in.
All right, but let me ask you this though, to tie this up with a bow before we go to the break, real quick. Who else is in the wings? Who else is in the wings right now for a U.S. Senate seat that has the potential name ID and statewide clout to just show up and make it happen? Who else would it be? Quick names.
You guys keep talking about Rick Pate. I don't even know who that is.
No, Steve Marshall, Dale Strong. Maybe.
Hey, here's a dark horse. Here's a dark horse name for you that nobody's thinking about. It's a guy who sought a Senate appointment at one point in time. Do you know who that is, Senator Williams?
Oh, geez. All right, we're going to a break. All right. All right, we're going to a break. That's round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and some guy up in Huntsville. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. All right, we're going back to round two of the Grand Council. Second round, first question. Jeff Poore, what you got?
So a lot of my fellow conservatives, there's never been a time in human history when a tariff would be an appropriate use of policy. And I kind of watching this tariff stuff go back and forth. And I guess this is the left is pulling this and trying to make it a hit on Trump. But are we not getting the full story here that, you know, the Canada, the European Union, they have been imposing tariffs on us for a while? And we're not really, it's not free trade if only one of the actors is participating in the quote unquote free trade, which has, which would suggest to me that, you know, maybe it is time to look at the tariff as a strategy, or maybe Trump's doing the right thing here.
Well, I mean, I think first of all, there will be a little bit of the time will tell kind of thing. But I'll also point out that, you know, conservatives are real quick to point out about things like the power of the purse. And we talk about the power of the purse in legislative action, but people seem to kind of freak out when the power of the purse is done through the executive branch. Not that they're changing appropriations, they're just changing the economic landscaping using the power of the purse to actually coerce things. When you have, and I'm going off the cuff here, but when you have the exertion of foreign policy power, you do it through four means. You use that acronym DIME. It's diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economic. Well, you use all four of them, and one of them is economic, and I think that's exactly what Trump is doing. He is actually applying economic power to exert foreign policy to put the United States in the position he believes it ought to be in. So I'm not a big fan of, you know, getting into a trade war with our neighbors to the north. I could care less about Mexico. But I get why he's doing it, and I think we're in a little bit of time will tell, because we got to see what develops in the next coming weeks. Dale.
The only thing I want to see here is him stick to something. I mean, decide what you're going to do and do it, and let the chips fall where they may. We don't want to do that. He waffles too much. He makes the threat mean almost nothing.
Okay, but is he waffling, or is he saying, okay, you met those conditions, I will relax what we talked about? Are you thinking he's backing off altogether? Huh?
It, depending on what pressure he gets, he's changing his position based on that. And I think they know that they can bend him through the mainstream media. And I think that's what's happened.
Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Well, I was kind of like Googling during the break about this. I guess we subsidize a lot of our own agriculture, mm-hmm. and that drives prices mm-hmm. down.
Mm-hmm.
So how do other countries retaliate, or how do they put tariffs on our products? We have to do this because we want a stable food supply. But if you drive down the price of soybeans in the United States, or you drive down the price of soybeans in Canada and Mexico, and the way they make up for that is by putting a tariff on our goods. But what we're doing is saying, hey, you can't put a tariff on our products. We're going to put a tariff back on your products. So, I mean, we got a whole, like, I guess it's a lot more complicated than what I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely chess, not checkers, but I think you're also looking at, it's more than just, you know, soybeans. It's going to be things like steel. It's going to be, you know, the entire right. steel industry is a big, huge factor in the trade imbalance we've got with both, Canada and Mexico. All right. Next question is mine, I guess. I'm going to say this. Every legislative session, there is one bill that the left finds to be extremely controversial. I have not heard much in terms of like filibuster type controversy coming out of Montgomery during this legislative session. So what is this year's left is freaking out controversy bill going to be? You're down there a lot, Jeff. You go first. What do you think?
Well, the filibusters have been for the changing the way the archives and history has its board of trustees.
Yeah.
So Dale and I, we've been mentioned by Bobby Singleton during discussion.
Always making it about yourself.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, you like. Anyway, I shouldn't have shared the claim to fame there, but no, he goes to the floor. I guess Elliot comes on my radio show, and we talked about it. We talked about how, like, you know, using cloture and using the you changing the rules at some point and making the discussions germane to whatever's on the floor, like they do in the House, had him really freaked out, and he went to the floor and started talking about conservative talk radio, and I just, anyway. So thus far, though, Senator, to answer your question, it's been archives and history.
Bobby Singleton is notorious for filibustering on things that don't relate to the bill. I actually walked up to him one time. He was at the podium going at it, just having himself a moment. And I had a sticky note and I wrote, "Stay germane." And I slapped it on the podium and walked away. And I was kidding him, but he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, I see," in front of everybody. He goes, "Oh, I see. I have been told I have to stay germane. Well, I'm going to be germane and Tito and the entire Jackson 5 right now. Madam President, I want to start my first hour." So I launched him into a filibuster. Dale, what do you see as controversial here? We got about a minute.
Well, I think that it's whatever they decided is at the time. It's never about those actual bills. It's about slowing everything else down.
Yeah.
And, you know, Republicans, and you know this, you were down there. You either can keep the decorum or you can run them over. And over the last 17 years, it seems that decorum has been more important from what I've been covering Alabama politics. You tell me, you were there.
I think that what you've seen right now is the last few years has been keep the Democrats happy so that we can all get out of here on time. I'm thinking that right now they might be moving a little bit more towards the we're going to push our agenda through, and if you keep filibustering, we're going to shut you down. So I'm looking forward to some of the old school that we had back in the early, 2011, 2012, 2013 timeframe. Anyway, all right, listen, Dale, you got like a 30-second question? About a 10-second question?
I do. About once a day, we see a story about gambling on one of these TV stations around the state. By the way, Fox 54, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday.
And that's a no.
Is gambling going to actually get done?
No. Jeff, what do you say?
No, it's probably not happening.
We're done. All right, fellas. Grand Council, appreciate both of you. Dale, glad you're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.